What's up, you guys? It's Nate Verone here to let you know that I got two live shows coming up, one in Los Angeles on July 18th with the one and only John Early. Are you fucking kidding me?
That show is going to be absolutely fucking busting.
You got to get tickets. Link in the show notes. I also got a show in Chicago on the 26th at the Color Club. Okay?
These shows are going to be absolutely fucking bonkers and bussin'.
Get your tickets now before they sell out. And without further ado, enjoy this most excellent episode of Joint Tactics.
So wait, what are we talking about?
Welcome to Joy Tactics, the podcast dedicated to all things joyful, joyous, and meeting as many celebrities as humanly possible. Hosted by Eric Rahill, Nate Verone, and Jack Bensinger. Enjoy.
Auras.
Oh, auras.
Different style of auras.
Auratators.
I want to apologize to the listeners first off that you might hear a little echo on this podcast. Well, that's because I've just moved into a six-bedroom house here in L.A. in the hills, deep within the hills, in a place that no one will ever find me unless I want to be found. And then, yeah, come on through for the party. But for now, it's unfurnished as we're just figuring out the vibe of the place, the aura of the place. Mm. And then sooner than you can imagine, it's going to be filled with mid-century modern furniture as far as the eye can see. Putting a cold plunge in the living room.
Well, maybe
you know what I do want so bad?
What's that?
Oh, maybe we can fix the echo in post.
No, we could put an echo on me and Nate so that...
Oh, so it's like we're all in the same room?
Yeah.
I do want a conversation pit badly.
Oh, like that would be nice.
And Mad Men.
If you raise the rest of the floor and then just leave... Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
Part of it down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be nice.
That's what I'm talking about.
Conversation pit?
Oh, you don't know about this, Nate?
It's a human cereal bowl for... getting along.
You are so introverted you would never even fucking think of a conversation pit, man. That's your hell. That's your ninth level of hell.
Nate, you ever see the picture of a living room and there's two steps down into like a lower little circle of the living room, like somebody cut a circle out of it?
You know what, I'm really like I can picture it just like what you're describing, but I don't think I've ever seen one of these
before. Imagine this. You come home from a long day at the TV network, okay?
Look, I get what the conversation I get what its function is. I get what it is.
Oh, Nate. Jason Sudeikis' house. Remember his?
Oh, right.
Yeah. No, but I want you to imagine something, Nate, because I don't think you've imagined this yet. You come home from a long day at the TV studio, wherever, or at the venture capitalism firm. And you are a little tired. You get home, and the place is just covered wall to wall with orange sort of shag carpet. And who's on? There's Bonnie Raitt playing on vinyl. Okay. And you look down. Oh, oops. There's your girl. And she's standing in the conversation pit with a liter of martini already made, ice cold, shaken. She's got that fucking the bodycon dress on. She's got amazing curves, just perfect. And if you're a woman listening to this, imagine you see your man down there with his ass so fucking fat. And
and if you're sapiosexual like me, imagine Lars von Trier is down there sitting mermaid style with his belly out and a bottle of grape juice.
And you go down there and you just chat. You just talk about your day. No TV. You watch Shogun at night.
No TV.
No.
There's no way to do it.
If you're screening something, you can pull the projector screen down. Okay, that's for screenings only and for study, film study. But no, we don't distract ourselves with screens. We distract ourselves with conversation in the pit, and you get fucked up every night. And then you take a pill that makes hangovers fully go away. And you wake up, you go to the gym, and you lift more weight than anyone else ever has.
Eric's Utopia.
Literally, that sounds pretty nice to me.
Is there like a couch? It's in my head. There's like a nice. There's definitely a seating arrangement in the conversation pit, right? Okay, this isn't just circular. Standing.
It's okay, a circular good. Pit, or it could be a square style pit.
And yeah, there's going to be wheelchair accessibility ramp in mine in my of house. Course. That's for sure.
Yeah, we don't have a ramp, but we have the fucking ropes. We have ropes all over. Oh, so
they could swing down like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so soft in there that if you just it's fine.
Now Go ahead.
That just sounds like hell.
Do you want to get into it? What do you want,
Nate? Do you want to get into it? Because what is your fantasy? Being all alone for the rest of your life?
The isolation pit that is deep into your home. It's just like, it's not even furnished. It's just a hole that you dig in the middle of your living room. They lower me down 500, 600 feet into the earth. It's warmer. It's warm, and then it gets really cold.
It's warm first, and then warm first. You're pitching a theory where the middle of the earth is ice.
Well, there's a part. There's probably a layer that's cold. I bet you it gets.
Of course.
Of course, it's hot in the middle because fucking that's where hell is. But if you go lower, I bet you there's the mantle, the crust, the crustacean layer. One of those layers is crustacean layer. One of those layers is probably ice cold.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's cold because there's no sun.
What do you think? Well water? You think well water comes out boiling hot? No.
No. Right? I think we're all on the same page.
That's got to be the crust. Good. But the crust you're saying is, I think it was just the order where you probably skipped the crust, Nate, because you went straight to warm. You said it was warm first.
No, well, maybe, why don't you do the. No, I'm saying it goes warm, and then it's. Because the earth, I guarantee you, the earth works in that mysterious way. I said you heard me correct. It's warm, and then you're like, "Oh fuck, this is gonna suck." They're lowering me down into the pit, getting fucking hotter. Well, you take your jacket off. Oh, this is gonna suck, back man. On.
Yeah.
Why did I do this? And then it gets fucking ice cold.
And then you we go.
Now I'm at the layer.
And that's where you want to be.
Have you guys watched Shogun yet?
Not yet.
I watched the first
preparing.
The first episode, and I hate this. But I got like second screen poisoned by it. Like I was just on my phone and I was like,
"That's on
and
you."
And I wasn't
even
paying attention. I was like, "What the fuck am I doing, dude?" Yeah. Like this, I like literally can't even tell you what the story was. Like I was on my phone the whole time.
You need to
and
be I was like, reading. What
I have to fucking
Japanese.
Watch this again to fucking. I want to watch it because I know I would like it.
If you're fluent conversationally in Japanese, then you don't need to use the subtitles. But if you even are a little bit less than fluent, you need to read that shit to know what's going on. But I'll bring it up because there's a scene in the first episode where one of the, what they call, this is what I found interesting, to the Japanese, the Portuguese and English are barbarians, when actually the English and the Portuguese thought the Japanese were barbarians. That's what we call bias, cultural bias.
That was a little too hard for me to...
Anyways, there's a scene where a guy is being boiled alive.
Lobster style.
In a giant pot. A Japanese giant pot.
Does he want that or are they doing it against his will?
That's the last thing he wants. Boil me. It's against his will.
God damn it.
Boil me.
So this but is a violent show.
Oh, dude, there's violence for sure. But why tastefully be violence, done. Man? But tastefully done. Right. Can you imagine being boiled alive?
Yeah.
Being all boiled as such?
Yep.
I felt emotional pain like that, but
yeah, what?
Not God, physical.
Watching the debate, I was fucking boiling.
Ow.
We can't talk about politics.
No, but we need to talk about what this episode's about, which is the
auras.
The idea of auras.
You know what? You brought up a point that you're like, we always associate auras as a function of the human body, you know, everybody has an aura, but you were saying your house, weren't you saying you're trying to get your house aura right?
I don't know if I said that, but I agree with that.
You're basically hinting that objects can have auras.
Of and course they can.
Thought of that previously. So you're kind of expanding my worldview of what an aura can be, because of course a shoe can have an aura, you know.
Right.
A
time can have an aura. Take you right. that to take right. you there.
The
Doesn't 80s even have to exist. The 80s have an aura.
Neon aura.
A decade can, yeah.
A spoon can have a better aura.
What's the most aura full era, and what's the most aura less era?
Most aura ever done, 1940s. Okay, right? Least aura has to be what? The 2000?
Probably the 2010.
2012? Yeah, 2010 is
aura. Yeah, I was going to say that, but I didn't want to disrespect. 20 really aura list.
I think we're still in the, pretty bad.
We're still in one of the most least aura'd moments that's ever existed in human history.
Well, when you're in the aura, you can't see the aura for the trees. You see what I'm saying? Because the light's too bright.
I can understand what you're saying. You can't see the fall off.
But you know what? I was, when it was like 2000, in the 2000s, whatever, 2000s, 2010s, I was like, thought the same thing where I was like, you know what? This doesn't feel like, when you think about like the 70s and the 80s, it feels like there was a distinct like, aesthetic and people were dressing all, they had the big mustaches, right, the hair, whatever, and yeah. I was like, maybe we'll be able to look back on it and this will be like it will have that, but I don't think it does have as clear of a vibe as the 90s, 80s, whatever, the 70s. And by the way, we're so fortunate to have a decade that's nobody talks about the 1730s, the 1740s, 1760s. Can you imagine that?
Right.
1760s,
'cause that was all
70s.
Just wigs.
That would be crazy if they had a different, whole different fucking style each decade. There.
Well, but bro, here, let me blow your mind. To them, it was crazy different. Oh, there's a new fucking vest that everyone's wearing. That's the 1790s. Oh, yeah. Man,
oh,
the shoes that have a different type of buckles. That's the fucking 1800s.
You remember Green Sleeves? Remember her?
No.
Somebody sang a song about her one time. They fell in love with her. She was probably the first person to ever have green sleeves. So they didn't even have the color green. So then once another, probably a decade where they thought, well, now clothes can be any color. Because they used to all just be mud color, whatever clothes were made out of at first. And then now it's crazy.
Right.
But an aura, you can have, by the way, I want to warn everybody. I would say that actually the 2010s had a very powerful aura. And the 2020s
extremely
had a powerful aura.
But so dude, powerful we can't even know yet.
The aura, there has to be words to describe auras. So there could be positive auras. Think of the 60s.
Right.
Think of flower power, right? Think of peace
right.
on earth and smoking weed and Jimi
Hendrix.
But
there's two sides to that coin, right? Remember this. There's two sides to the aura coins. Yeah, one side of that aura coin from the 60s is flower power and Jimi Hendrix, who died by vomit, and the Doors and all the amazing movie, The Graduate, the sexy movie with Dustin Hoffman and the MILF.
Earlier, but...
The birds on the other
the
side
housing,
of the coin.
Housing prices were
on the other side of the
reasonable.
Coin. The horrors of Vietnam.
Now,
racism.
Now.
The assassination of JFK.
What that is people who don't notice. How peaceful was it here in America? It was very peaceful. And in Vietnam,
to
it
you.
Was so... Well, I wasn't
right.
there. I wasn't there. But in Vietnam, it was so horrible. And why...
Right.
Do you think it's a coincidence that you're so far, far physically, geographically from the aura? So aura, they were just in the fallout. You know what I'm saying? They were beyond the fallout zone, beyond the event horizon of the aura. So that's a positive aura that Vietnam didn't have the luxury of being in. Right?
Right.
Because Jimi Hendrix is probably coming out of Jimmy. But then there's
it's
negative
also complicated.
Auras.
Right.
There's negative auras where you look at the 2010s and America was... Something is currently happening where we're stuck in a powerful negative aura.
Of course. Well, I want to bring this up because color does tie into aura so much. Look at the color that is seeping through Middle America renovated homes. Okay, take my mom's condo for example.
White.
No, even worse, dark gray wood, fake wood floors. Okay, not to shame my mom. Gray sort of silver accessories and fixtures. I would take the 2000s sort of Italian rustic farmhouse aesthetic. A million, the kind of cringy one, remember that when all the rich kids had the kind of like Italian farmhouse style homes? Nate, What are you looking at?
I have never met a rich... I've never been in a rich person's house. I've never met a rich kid in my life.
Based on principle.
You know where I grew up, man.
I know. But now it's all replaced with gray, just Target sadness. You see what I'm saying?
Isn't this like the millennial gray? The color's draining.
It's millennial gray. Yeah, right. Right.
Disgusting.
We're getting to something quite interesting here. I want to keep digging.
Well... You know, I want to keep digging as well, but I can I give a personal, a recent aura related story?
Yeah.
That I
yeah,
think
of course.
Would, I think could because we didn't talk about our individual auras yet, mm-hmm. which we're
no, we
I
haven't.
Feel like we're
that's
kind
a very
of
vulnerable
to
thing to do. Yeah.
Right. So there, I was getting my oil changed at the Glendale Lube Center. Okay, I'll give him a shout out. Okay, stop. Pause.
Proceed, man. Like, proceed.
Let's move on. Nothing to say.
Lube center.
Are you getting that lubed up every 5,000 or what?
Yep. I'm getting it lubed up every chance I get, man. Every time that. See, the Prius has a maintenance required thing on it. Does your car have that?
Yeah.
The Mazda. So it tells you when you need it. Anyways. I go up to the lube center, pull up to the there's this like line, you know. I always get my maintenance done there, or my whatever oil change. And he says, you know what, we're kind of backed up. Why don't you go park in the parking lot, and then I'll like, you know, come over and tell you when you can pull up to the oil change area. So I'm parked in the parking lot. One of the mechanics comes over to me. With a note card, a note that has something written on it, and it says, "Hi, I am a mechanic at Glendale Lube Center, and you cannot park here." Like a card like that, and I think he thought I was like kind of a person that lived in my car, and
wow.
and was just like parked in the parking lot, and I opened my door. And he sees, and he's, because you can't feel an aura through a window. Okay?
Oh, my God.
So he gets the
that's
full.
That's proven scientifically.
He gets the flesh-to-flesh aura. As soon as I pull out the door and look at his ass, immediately, night and day, so, oh, my God, he senses my powerful aura. Threatening.
Wow.
Threatening aura that I have. Because if you're around me, you can't feel this on the podcast, the Zoom, but you guys would say I have a very threatening presence.
It's something. It's something to behold for sure.
And in addition to the aura, it's the you don't really do personal space. You don't.
Right.
You don't respect
I'm
that.
Right up in your fucking grill, dude.
If you're it's that Old Spice swagger fucking coming right through. You can smell the Old Spice swagger through the glass.
Yep. I didn't use this mouthwash for no reason. That's a good t-shirt.
But he says, he immediately starts apologizing. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I thought you were, lo and behold, there was another Prius that had been parking in the parking lot illegally.
Wow. Okay.
And he thought that I was that guy. But I will just say that as soon as I made eye contact with him and he got the Nate Verone eye contact stare,
mm-hmm.
and sort of he felt my how superior my posture is,
right,
and sort of my body type and, you know, lanky but powerful body type, he immediately backed off, you know what I'm saying, and felt mm-hmm. and this was kind of like it felt like a sort of primate, like sensing that the alpha sigma sort of thing. Like he you can't see these things through a glass. All right?
If you have aura proof glass, yeah.
Right. There's a reason why we shake hands and don't, you know what I mean?
You're good.
No, I don't. I don't, but. But anyway,
skin to skin tells you everything. I'll just say that
skin to skin.
So much. There's so much communication going on intercellularly between hands when they shake. It tells you everything you need to know. I'll just say it like that. For anyone who's afraid to shake hands in this day and age, start shaking them now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my aura. And what would you say the color of my aura? Because I think that's a thing of, like, people have different colors of aura. What would you say?
You are purple.
Yeah.
A purple. No, oh, royal.
Purple aura.
Purple and gold.
Aura.
Yeah.
Squidward. Wait, Squidward is blue.
No, he's blue, yeah.
Squidward. Sorry. Purple Squidward.
I don't know why I thought of that immediately. Purple.
Nah, he's light blue, dude. He's, yeah. But sorry, definitely purple. Like, it's not even... Here's what's interesting. I would never for a second think another aura color for you.
Yeah.
Yellow.
Really?
Nah.
Green. Hell nah. Red.
Maybe sparkling. Maybe just clear sparkling for Nate.
You know what I see you guys as?
What?
Huh? What?
Eric, you are pink.
What, did you just make a word up? What are you saying? Oh, pink.
I'm pink.
I'm saying it in a certain way.
Like you are pink.
Neon pink. Pink.
Wow. Hot pink. Why do you get hot pink?
Why do you get that?
I
is it because
that,
my
dude.
Face is red from the sun a little bit right now?
No, it has nothing to do with that, man. It's just you have a very intense pink. Aura.
Pink aura.
Is it because you could see the inside of my mouth?
Nope.
It's a bright pink. Nope. Could you imagine I have the pinkest mouth of all time?
It looks like you've been gobbing on some Pepto-Bismol.
That would be so disturbing.
What do you think your aura is? What color do you think your aura is?
I would say a forest green.
A forest green. Interesting.
Yeah. I could see that.
Because that's what I think I would say the same thing. Green.
For
if
you.
You would ask me. Yeah. Jack, what do you
think?
Well,
we all
want to
be green.
I don't want to be green.
Jack, you have that orange glow, dude. That Fanta orange. Or that's a rare type as well. That's an extremely rare type. Remember this. Know this. In Star Wars, there's these things called kyber crystals. Okay?
I'm listening.
And every Padawan has to go on a journey to find kyber crystal. To make their first lightsaber. And it's a very intense journey to go get this kyber crystal. And every kyber crystal has a different color.
Yeah.
So you go to Star Wars theme park.
And Samuel L. Jackson had the only purple.
He asked for purple.
Said, I want to be... He called up George Lucas and he said, this is real. He said, I want to be in Star Wars. And I want a purple lightsaber. Could you imagine?
That is we are so fucking close, man.
And I want a purple. No one's ever had a purple lightsaber.
Purple is it's just so sick. But Jack, for sure, if you went on that kyber crystal journey and you put that thing in the little hilt of the lightsaber, the first time
orange.
That shit comes out, all orange. No,
but
question.
It would be like a little like it wouldn't. It Dagger. Would be like a. Like a pud, like it would be like a head of a penis,
man.
like
you think it wouldn't go all the way,
your lights, and you would just have to like fucking like poke it on the head.
You're saying it's not even long or sharp or nothing. It's like
it's really loud and it just goes. It's like and it just goes.
And it's just hot?
Kind of the head of a dick. Like
is it hot?
Comes out of
man. Yeah.
How do I kill people with that? What's the
you
point?
Just
you don't, dude.
Shove
you're,
it up again. You don't. You're
a fucking
like,
librarian. You're a Star Wars librarian.
Why do I have that?
Which is
that's
a
I mean,
very
if you touch somebody with that, with the head of the...
It'd burn
you know,
them, right?
It'll fucking take them
oh,
out.
So
it's
if
a ta-
I put it
it's
in
essentially
a sandwich,
lightsaber taser.
What if I put it in a soup and then give it to somebody? Then they wouldn't think that I was so harmless anymore. meatball.
Oh, and what would my lightsaber look like, Nate?
It would be like really. It would be like, I would say it would be very. I don't know why I'm getting so phallic with the interesting. It would be really long but limp, and it would be like heavy to kind of whip. It would be like a whip, but it would be really heavy to like.
It's like
whip
really
her.
Hard.
It's not. It's like a really heavy whip that it would be really hard to.
I'm dragging it on the ground.
Yeah, you'd be dragging it around, and you'd be like, Don't step on it, man. Like, that'll fucking burn your foot.
That'll fucking slice your foot off.
I feel like that might be Nate's, because you have
that
snake
fang.
I feel like, Eric, yours might be a green chair. Like yours goes like Transformer style. Like you hit the button and it fully turns into a chair.
You trick people into sitting into a fucking lightsaber chair.
It's so obvious.
Dude, take a seat.
Take a seat. You're like a Sith that's like, it's all red, bright red.
The trickster Sith.
Go ahead, take a seat.
Hey man, thanks for coming to lunch with me. That one's
why don't you go grab that purple fucking glass over there, take a drink of water.
Qui-Gon Jinn, just awesome to meet up. Just wanted to chat for a bit. Just go ahead, I'll take a seat right there. And
you must be tired. Yeah, take a seat. I made you something, food.
Qui-Gon.
You want to sit Qui-Gon next to Jar Jar, right?
So funny.
That's a fucking awesome name, by the way.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
If I could have backwards? Any name, it would be
that. And they gave
that
to the fucking English bloke.
Qui-Gon. He's British.
Qui-Gon.
That's right.
I heard a British guy today.
Where'd you hear him?
I heard him by the water. By the ocean.
That's where they always are.
Was there anyone around, or was that just coming to you from across the sea?
He was talking to us from... It traveled across the whole ocean.
Hello.
It bounced all the way. Can you imagine if that's how the Earth worked sound wise?
It could. We just haven't discovered those frequencies yet.
Well, probably that's why. I bet. Yeah, I bet. Like groundhogs.
Wait,
probably
do
hear
did
that.
Did you guys watch the Joe Rogan with somebody like commented this on the Reddit or something? But it was Terrence Howard and like a real like a
mathematician guy,
yeah like an MIT or something, and he's like I want a physicist slappy. And it is the most psychotic podcast that's ever been recorded. They're like, I mean, I don't know, I really know nothing about physics, but they have all these like shapes that they're pulling out, and Terrence Howard has this like this model that he built in Blender that he keeps on going back to, and he's like, Jamie, click on the color. It's really making me laugh.
I need to watch. He's
keeps
like
on going back to it. He's like, click on the blue one, and you just see mate.
Is it a new shape that he's invented, like a special style
kind
of shape?
Yes, it's a new he's like, I invented this shape that he made in Blender.
Can I Google it?
It's just crazy, dude. And then the physicist is pulling out a different shape, and he's like referencing this like toy. It's so chaotic.
Is the physicist fed life? Up?
No, he's, I think he came in like, I think he's like kind of pissed off because he's getting a lot of like attention for his formulas and stuff to the layman, like people that don't know anything about physics. I think he's like mad that he is, you know, getting traction for some of these theories that he has. So he's like, oh, I'm about to come in. Like you can tell he's like studied all of like Terrence Howard's like ideas, and he's like so ready to like
to
like,
duke it
agree
out
with him or not, you know. And I think he does it, and I didn't watch the whole thing, but of what I did watch, he kind of is like trying to be as respectful as he can. But you know what I'm saying, like Terrence Howard has one, he might be wrong about some things, but like I got to give him a massive shout out, because you know one thing that there's got to be one thing that he's got right. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
And there, and we could get into this. This is the academics versus the sort
the
of
intuitives.
The intuitives, right? Exactly.
So, well, and I would say we are definitely intuitives.
You have to go through school and do all these. And he's like, "No, man, this is just what
feeling
I come
this
up
shit
with."
There are people who discover, and there are people who enforce.
Proof. Right.
So, if you are an academic like this gentleman was, who came on to contest him, and by the way, in a stage in the process when we don't need people contesting it yet. Okay.
Right. We need
fucking
encouragement.
Theorizing. So what this math guy does is he goes and he learns everything that all the other crazy people had already discovered. And then he's teaching people,
right,
this is what this person figured out. But what Terrence is doing is he's doing the actual science. Okay.
Which is making 3D models in Blender.
In Blender.
In Blender, which most people don't have access to. Is it right, called the all shape?
Right. To most people, that's a kitchen appliance. But
the problem with the all shape is
designers.
It's every shape in one, as I'm understanding.
It's called the all shape.
Yeah.
No, so it's not.
It's a triangle that looks like basically a 12-dimensional crown. Interesting. What's inside of this shape? Because it looks like a.
Wait, are you serious, Jack? That's like the whole discussion of. Did you watch this?
No.
Because we're dealing with the master intuitive right here.
Wait, Jack. Did you really that's your first thought about it?
I swear to God.
that's like the whole premise of. That's like his whole theory is like, what's inside of this shape? Like, that's where all the energy comes from. And
well, it's so obvious from looking at it that it's something. Exactly.
Somebody in the subreddit or something was like, this is just Jack. Like, Jack is... this is if Jack, like...
Well, if you look at it looks like one of those spiky... You know those, like, spiky type of things that fall out of trees?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of like one of those... And it looks like clearly there's a nut in it. I mean, there's room for anything inside of it because you just scale it down.
You are the missing link between Terrence Howard and a utopian discovery. Like, if you guys could just
you
could assess his
he needs somebody to come on who's gonna go there with him and just see, because what I bet nobody said to him, which I'm noticing just from looking at this thing. There's always a reason that something has a point. What's causing? If you look at the crest of a wave in the ocean, it's a shape is a reaction to energy. So if you look at how many points are all around this dot, around this ball, it's basically like a bunch of tarps, right? And so it implies that there's something inside of this shape that is pushing out in very specific directions. I'm not going to say north, south, east, west. I know Eric was talking about the East and West Pole, but that's actually what, weirdly, it feels like it ties into this.
It could be undiscovered fourth dimensional directions.
There's six points coming out of this thing, okay? Probably seven, because there's one in the back that you can't see.
Right.
I mean, it looks like a tent. Frankly, it looks like a circus tent.
Imagine this. You have a mysterious uncle who's always traveling, but you never know where. And one day he passes away, and he leaves a chest to you. And you open the chest, and there's a compass inside. But instead of just on a 2D plane where there's, four cardinal directions.
He doesn't have his own kids?
There's a direction coming. No, he's single his whole life, bachelor. All right. There's a direction coming out towards you and a direction coming out away from you.
Mm-hmm.
He's been navigating different dimensions.
Yeah. Is that what
if you have this compass, you can go to different dimensions.
And the compass.
The physicist actually explained other dimensions in a way that I kind of got. And he described it in a way that you know how a record, an old school record, there's he described it as there's the Victorella. What is that? Is that a record player or something?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the pin that you drop on.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to one song. Okay, that's our dimension. Okay, you're listening to you're listening to one song. Okay, on a record, but on that record there's 12 songs. Okay, those are the different dimensions.
Yeah,
and our reality is just on that. So simultaneously on that record. You can
songs. No. Literally, Nate, I'm laughing.
You know what I'm saying?
I fully get it.
I was like, oh, that was a good way to describe.
What do you mean?
Other dimension. It's like simultaneously we exist in 11 dimensions. Okay.
Now here's
my
question.
All happening simultaneously, but our reality is just on that one song.
But does Jack? Ask a question, then I have another extremely important question.
I just want to talk about this concept, the notion of dimensions, okay? Because it feels like there's two things being talked about sometimes when you say it's a reality, right? Because there's one dimension, which is X. There's the second dimension, which is
By the way, this is peak Joy Tactics right now. Us discussing three
completely earnestly trying to break down what a dimension is.
Trying our hardest to understand.
This is as good as it gets.
So, okay, whatever. Take me seriously. X, dimension one. Y, that's actually still dimension. Okay, but in Blender, that's a second dimension. In terms of measurement, then Z space, right? That's a third dimension, as we call this. Now, actually, I'm running into my own problem, which is, are X and Y not? This is still one dimension.
You know, we need a fucking whiteboard, dude. If we had a chalkboard, dude, it would be
we could
crazy
figure
as equations.
Out.
We could.
Well, we're saying
that's what's stopping us right now. We don't have a fucking chalkboard we can write
if
down
we had
all of our equations.
Can we please
man?
Do the whiteboard episode? We all need to have whiteboards, hang them on the wall so that we can.
We need
and
to
note
have
cards.
A gigantic,
I'm getting a
like fucking wall.
Yeah,
wide
of calculations
that we keep up for the whole entirety of all Joy Tactics, and it's gonna add up to something, dude.
If we
write down all of our equations that we've been formulating this entire year,
here's my issue.
We would have something.
Okay, let me do an example. Now, this is a canister of minoxidil. I've never used it, and I don't even know what that is, but. This is one dimension, okay? Right here.
Right.
In terms of building, Y, up and down. This is another dimension, across.
Of course.
This is another dimension, depth. Now, my question is that the same definition of dimension as when you say a different dimension is a different reality? Because a dimension is not a reality. Unless it is.
We are limiting ourselves with the idea of a limited amount of multiples, right? Well, our brains can't figure out because we haven't needed to figure this out from an evolutionary standpoint, is the concept of infinity. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, great.
Right.
Because the way that physicist put it for you helps our small brains understand, oh, there's 12 dimensions, we're all on the same physical we're on different physical planes, something like that, but we can't comprehend the amount of possibilities. Something like Doctor Strange would be able to comprehend. Okay? Because if anybody's going to comprehend the notion of interdimensionality, it's Doctor Strange.
Right.
Right? Okay, so because he has his windows to other dimensions. He's seen more than you can imagine.
Doctor Strange, that's an awesome book. Doctor Weird,
Doctor Understanding,
Doctor
Doctor Understanding,
Empathetic,
well,
the
so
Sexual Doctor.
I just googled the word dimension. There's two definitions. The first, a measurable extent of some kind, such as length, breadth. The fuck is that? Depth or
breadth?
What the fuck is breadth?
Breadth is like width.
No, because.
Bread.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They're saying length. Mm-hmm. Wait, no, I still.
That's how like an old timey sailor would say width.
But there's four.
There's width
length,
and breadth.
Length.
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 Breadth.
Okay. Well, no. But it's good. But then it says height at the end. Length, breadth, depth,
length.
And height. Maybe breath.
We need to move on.
If we have the sound bite of Joy Tactics, I would be pressing that like you couldn't even hear our dialogue. Joy Tactics.
All right. Now the second definition is an aspect or feature of a situation, problem, or thing.
Muffy reveal.
The example it does is sun-dried tomatoes add a new dimension to this sauce. So that's irrelevant for what we're talking about. Look at that cat. That's a cute cat.
Meow. So, do you think animals?
Nothing to say.
This is a great serendipitous moment. Do you think that animals exist in another dimension in their minds because they are in the?
Do they perceive
sometimes
another
they just,
dimension.
I feel like they are. We think that they're stupid as fuck, or at least I do.
Oh, right.
And no one can convince me that they're smarter than humans in any way, shape, or form. But sometimes the way that they just stare into the distance, birds, they're just, dude, you can't just be still and just freeze like that without going to a different
having
place
something
mentally.
Quite deep going on in there. I know that's for sure.
Well, maybe
my question is this, back to the idea of aura. So in this dimension, we all have some of the each one of us has an amazing, very powerful aura that coincides with our high levels of success, career-wise and relationship-wise, whatever. Does that aura extend to other dimensions? For example,
yes.
did Jesus Christ's aura on this planet and this reality extend through all the other dimensions? So in dimension 49,000 AB, whatever,
yes.
Is Jesus in that reality some type of whatever frog or whatever that has that same aura and that same impact on the history of that reality?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
The extent of the...
Because you have when you drop a rock into the ocean, it creates a ripple not just along the top, but it also creates ripples down throughout the ocean. So it's almost like if we're living in these three dimensions, which we may perceive, even though we can only perceive one with our individual eyes, which does lead me to believe that we see in three dimensions, because to be able to see from beyond one dimension, you need to have two lenses, which are communicating to your brain at the same time. And we do have two lenses. It's just, we see in 3D at such a microscopically close. You guys already know this shit. But what I'm saying is, they notice. Because when you walk under a ladder and you're thinking, oh, that's bad luck. Well, what you've actually done is you piss somebody off because they use that interdimensional space to keep their food there. And you just walk through a bunch of cans of weenies or whatever. See what I'm saying? You break glass.
On a major catastrophic level, I believe that when we did the Oppenheimer nuclear tests and the bombs, splitting the atom has a major impact on other dimensions. Mm-hmm. In
That's
ways.
What they say. That's what they say.
Because why was there so much what we would call UFO activity happening right after the nuclear bombs? I think it's because we triggered a watchdog group, a neighborhood watch or organization. Neighborhood watch that was like, oh shit, we got to now pay attention to these fools. Lest we have another nuclear bomb destroy our reality.
You know what's in Roswell, New Mexico?
What?
Is the fucking, the Hong Kong of the fifth dimension is like,
a crazy city
located, a crazy interdimensional city is kind of based in that location. So when we put off that, whatever that first bomb went off, I feel like it was massive. You know, trillions entities were killed in that interdimensionally. And they were like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, my.
There's no way those fools and those primates in the third dimension. We got to go. There's no way they come back. Hey, what the fuck? Are you serious? They've developed this technology. They haven't been here in probably 200,000 years. They thought we were cute.
Coconuts, right.
They thought it was cute what we were doing.
Whoops, we found a microchip.
Whoopsies.
Whoopsies, we found an
atom. We have PlayStation now.
Oopsies. Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, you
thought
forgot
you left
we?
A bunch of atoms here.
We have a Switch.
Yep. Sorry.
Whoops.
Sorry, alien captors. We can podcast now.
Mm.
We can spread
They're podcasting.
Our agenda.
What the fuck? No.
It's too late. It's too late. We're too already late. Echoing. The reverberations
have
begun. They
figured out podcasting.
That's a fucking... Yeah.
Now, how do you grope with that or cope
grope.
With that?
Grope.
grapple. Grapple. How do you grapple
right.
with that theory, Nate, given the amount of bombs which have gone off? Because let's not forget the Tsar Bomba, which went off in the northern Russian islands, or Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I hate to bring them up, but many bombs have gone off. Are you saying that these places are also kind of doorways?
I feel like
into
those are like the Dayton, Ohio's of the other dimension, where they're like, whatever, like they blew up Dayton, Ohio. If you blew up Dayton, Ohio, you'd be like, whatever.
Oh, okay. Like, but it was a spot where Roswell was.
It was just like right place, right time. Sort of like, what the fuck? You blew up the New York City of the sixth dimension, man.
That's not cool.
We got to fly around.
So the way that I'm understanding this is there is one universal grid. There is one black and green, like you would see in like a 1990s computer rendering grid of the universe, right?
Yeah.
And every reality and dimension is like a ROM that you're playing on that grid. Like, okay, there's Pokemon Yellow on this one. We're playing... whatever, Chrono Trigger on this one. We're playing Banjo-Kazooie on this grid. So yeah. But the grid is the same. The console is the same. Do you see what I'm saying? You're playing it on the same. We're all playing on the same N64. It's just the games are all different. Mm-hmm. And if you blow up something all crazy in one game and start messing with the console, yeah, guess what? That has a trickle-down effect on the other
dimensions. Let me bring up a game that would be highly related to this subject.
Hmm.
You remember Mario, right?
Which one? I remember him.
Okay. What's now his last you remember name? Paper Mario.
Yep, 2D to 3. Oh.
I remember
so
him.
He shrunk him down to a different... Mario went interdimensional with it. He said, I want to figure out this flat reality and see what that's like. Is the princess going to be sexier?
All sexy there? Still? Right.
Yep. And she was.
Turns out she was.
Even turns sexier. Out
when I'm papers, then you are. Yeah. Uh-huh. But when you're not paper, yeah, well, yeah.
Are we still going to be able to do this when we turn 40? Nate, when you hit 40, is this going to feel different when we're talking like this?
I'll be dead by then, so I won't even know. But
well, you saw there was a Reddit poll about who's going to die first, and I won by a landslide.
Now, science
that was a leading
agree.
Question. That's called a leading question.
Yeah, that's just who. That's just people who want to kill you. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right. They want me dead.
They want you dead.
They're praying for your downfall.
Well, they want to stop innovation in the entertainment industry. Then that's the goal.
That's right.
Jesus.
Yeah, dude. I know there's so much innovation that you have, Eric. That they're.
It makes me emotional really thinking about the fucking well of innovation that people will be missing out on if I go too early. Man, so let's give some advice on how you can really quickly give some advice on how a young person could increase their aura, because you know this is the new TikTok comment. People can say like, oh, I sense this person's aura 5 videos right. away on my For You page, whatever,
yeah,
on TikTok.
Right.
So if you're a young person and you're auraless, get it together, and here's how you do it. Okay, if you're in a picture, if you're posing in a picture and you're standing next to someone, never point at the person like this and look away like right. that. Never do that.
No.
So you're saying you can change your aura.
Go like this.
Well, it's a constant measuring, right? So you are constantly every second of your life doing things like a stock market. Going up, it's going down, it's going up, it's going down. You see what I'm saying? So you adjusting. Just have to do things. You might be starting at a place right now where you're in ninth grade, as many of the listeners are, and you're at negative 40,000 aura, right? So just to even get, you got work to do. You can't just do, if you think you could pull off a Max Keeble's big move style, backflip off a table, 900,000 plus aura points in one move, sure. Yeah. But for a lot of
that's
people,
that's dangerous. You get killed.
You could, well, you risk, but it's, it's a full-on gamble because you could lose 900,000 aura just like that. And now you're really starting from... Now you're unsalvageable.
Mm-hmm. That's when the interest starts racking up on the aura points.
Then you become an NPC. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So do things like, you know, listen, do the double kiss on the cheek.
I forgot there's a numerical value associated with...
Of course there is. There's numerical values associated with everything if you look deeply enough. There's math in everything. That's the beauty of math. There's math in art, you realize. God,
I had no idea math could be beautiful in
there's
any way.
There's math
and
phone
crazy.
Numbers. There's numbers and phone numbers.
Right, numbers. Right.
I hate to do this, but basically I have to go pick up a table.
No. I didn't
tell you guys about this. I have to go pick up a table. So unfortunately, we need to kick our joys off a little early.
Your Jedi table. It's at your lightsaber table. Go ahead. Put your hands on it. Go ahead. Lay on it. Your massage. You're like a masseuse. A light chair. Masseuse. Go ahead. Get on the table. I'll give you a massage. It's fucking glowing red under the...
Man.
Quite funny.
So really, what has given us joy this week? What should I begin?
Please.
We are coming off a run of Rap World screenings here in LA that have been a real joy to watch. People have been coming out, enjoying the film. According to Letterboxd, a couple people that are behind the times in how advanced this film is. But most of people are enjoying it, having a good ass time. And we might do more in LA is what I heard. Wow. I don't want to just say that right now publicly, but we might do more. And we have screenings coming up in Chicago and New York, and I believe Portland and Seattle as well, coming down the pike.
Wow.
So if it's coming to your city, get all excited, get some tickets, go see that thing.
And enjoy it while it happens.
Well, let's see here. I watched the documentary Grizzly Man.
What's that? Week.
Grizzly Man, the one about a guy who gets killed by a... He kind of is like the... Who's that person that like studied monkeys in the wild? Like that woman?
Jane Austen.
Jane Goodall,
is that it?
Jane Goodall.
Goodall. Oh, it's basically that, but like for grizzly bears. And like he would go out in the wild and like be one with the grizzly bear, and they end up killing him.
Eating him.
It was one that I've heard about a lot.
Christopher, what's his name? I love that clip when Werner Herzog is watching it or he's listening to the tape and
never.
He's like,
yeah.
Destroy it.
Destroy it now. Yeah. Because he listens to, like, there's audio recording of him
being eaten alive and his girlfriend getting eaten.
And his girlfriend.
Oh, no.
There with. And Werner Herzog listens to it. And a close personal friend of the guy who gets killed has the tape, and she's never listened to it. And he's listening to it, and he doesn't even listen to the whole thing. He puts mm-hmm. takes his headphones off. It's mm-hmm. like an iconic scene in it. And he's like, destroy this, never listen to this.
And do not remix joy. It. Do not make it. Yeah.
That gave me so much joy.
swing.
But that doc is kind of busting. It's popping. Like that.
It's so good.
That's awesome.
Jack, sir, what gave you joy?
What gave me joy is the opportunity of a lifetime. Almost nobody on the planet gets to do this. My girlfriend and her cousins were swimming across the channel, and they tried to swim across, and one of the cousins didn't make it, and she had to hold on to a dock that was on the way and try not to pass out and drown.
Jesus. So
eventually she regained her breath, she calmed down, and she made her way over to the other side of the channel. And they said to me and the cousin's boyfriend, would you please go get some floaties? And we said, we don't think that'll work. Just try it, you know. Because how are we going to... We'd have to swim the floaties over, but I guess we could have done that. So whatever. Actually, we do. So we go, we get the floaties. We come back. And then a giant yacht pulls up.
What?
We come back with the floaties. We left some beers on the dock. And the guy goes, I made sure not to spill your beers. We go, good God. You're so cool. Who are you? And he's like, oh, just a guy with a boat. Just a guy with a boat. Okay. So then he says, what are y'all doing? We say, our girlfriends are stuck over there. They can't swim back because they're afraid of dying. And he goes, how about this? I got 10 minutes right now. Get on my big ass yacht.
No.
We're going to pull around. Sipping on gin and juice. Oh. Pick them up. And that's what we do. We come around the bend. The girls are going crazy. Oh, my God. It's so cool. You guys are the best. This guy comes up. Whatever. We pick them up. Drops us off. We go, who are you anyways, man? And I'm not going to dox him, but I'll just say, and you can find out his full name just from Googling this title, I bet. Let's just say that was the president of Dunkin' Donuts.
Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
You buried the lead. You're saving this for the podcast.
That's right. I was on the boat of the guy who owns Dunkin' Donuts America.
Holy.
The president.
Okay. Wow. And he probably knows Ben Affleck.
That's right. That's what they were saying.
That's so fucking sick.
So he was very nice and cool, just like I'd always pictured. CEOs are nice, good guys, man.
Most of them are.
Yeah.
Okay, damn. I feel so bad. I want to hear so much more. We'll talk about it more on the Patreon, okay? Okay. But I have to go now, unfortunately.
All right, we'll do the Dunkin' Donuts episode.
All right.
All right.
Well, I love you guys. All right, everyone. And we'll chat
soon.
Peace out now.
Well, that concludes another incredible fucking episode of Joy Tactics. Head over to patreon.com/joytactics to unlock exclusive weekly bonus episodes. And make sure to follow us on social media where we post fire TikToks and hilarious shit like that. And if you loved the shit you just listened to, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and remember, we are shaped by our thoughts, we become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves.